Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Hooked, the podcast where we give you all the plot hooks that you'll ever need in your entire role-playing game career. I'm your host, Ainsley Weber, here with returning special guest... Jack is his name. And for the first time, someone entirely new who isn't Jack... And their name is...
That is Isaac, also on the Law and Disorder podcast, playing
Pond. Yeah, I'm on that.
And then Melina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we play together.
This will be fun. It's an all Law and Disorder day today.
Ah, it is. Let's get back into character. It felt so weird to not say Isaac playing Melina.
Oh, yeah, I have to stop myself from saying I play Melina.
So...
You also play Melina?
Yeah.
Well, let's switch for night. I'll play Dashbold.
Okay.
Look, I've been tempted to throw a Freaky Friday episode at you for a while.
Oh, I'd be 100% down with that.
Oh, I don't think you... James would hate it.
That's why we should do it.
Someone else would just become James.
All right. Well, if you are joining us for the first time, what we do here is we take inspiration from a random Magic the Gathering card and a random word, and we create some plot hooks, be they items, be they NPCs, be them storylines or settings for your game, and you are free to use them. But if you're going to use them for profit, give us some credit and let us know beforehand. We are released under a Creative Commons 4 license. So, our random Magic the Gathering card this week is the Wasteland Scorpion. It is a creature with death touch and cycling, whatever that means. And the little blurb down the bottom is, all but the gods fear the scorpion's sting. And it's got like an ominous looking tower in the background and cloudy fog over the full moon. It's all together very ominous and, you know, it's a regular black Magic the Gathering card. And our random word is, of course, Imperial.
Brilliant.
So it's going to be all fun, flowers, and lollipops this episode. So we're going to start off by giving you the pledge, which is a basic idea of our plot hook. Then we will follow it up with a turn. We'll each talk about the pledge that has been given by the other hosts. And then finally, the prestige, which is how we include this hook into your game. So who wants to go first with the Wasteland Scorpion? Jack wants to go first.
Yeah, I do.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, I can go first. Wholesome. Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I'm
trying to make it wholesome.
So, Imperial Wasteland Scorpion. Now, the Wasteland Scorpion kind of lends itself to like
fun,
a rustic desert locale, but I don't want to do that. Imperial is kind of a built-up, wide-spanning country. So I want to do that. And I think the Wasteland Scorpion is the weapon of choice for people who betray the Emperor. They will just be... Like, perhaps there is the Emperor's spies. They can mark you in some way with a scent or something and then just release a scorpion in the same city as you, and the scorpion will find its way to you and sting you.
The scorpion looks like it has a mark on its head.
Yeah. So maybe it's marked with the sigil of the Emperor, so that if it is caught, you know what's happened. And maybe, yeah, so I think that's it. These scorpions are specifically bred to be the chosen method of death for those who betray the Emperor.
Mm, brilliant.
And that could include like a thieves guild or an assassin's guild or an animal handler or trying to keep someone away from this tiny little creature that just keeps appearing and you have to keep running faster than it, even though it will never stop. That's Ooh. Also a fun campaign.
Ooh, there you go.
Can you outrun a scorpion forever if the scorpion never sleeps?
I mean, you could just step on it.
Try teleporting.
Oh, yeah, and then just die.
That's true.
You go to another dimension.
Drop a rock on it.
All right, well, who wants to go next with their pledge?
Right, I'll go next. So, looking at it, you know, it's a scary scorpion, imperial being the key word here.
Mm.
So I thought rather than it being part of an empire, it was part of an empire. This was sort of the downfall of the empire. It's now a wasteland. So,
okay, so where the empire stood is now a wasteland.
Yes.
Yeah.
And part of that reason was because, let's go with some of the more liberal scientists or mages or whatever you want to go for. They were experimenting with genetics. They're like, well, the empire is really big now. How do we can control it remotely? So let's see if we can make some animals that could do that. So one of them happened to be one of these scorpions. And he's like, all right, let's make a horse-sized scorpion that we could just send out and go kill people.
Never make a horse-sized scorpion.
No, never make a horse-sized scorpion. Make a scorpion-sized horse. Yeah, scorpion-sized
horse.
That's
fine. A baby horse, a tiny little horse that you put in your desk?
Yeah, exactly. But they went the other way. And, I mean, these scorpions, well, they just started breeding and multiplying as insects do. And it essentially...
They took over.
They're mindless beasts. The empire just fell from it. So now it's just a wasteland and these scorpions just roam it, just looking for the next person to kill.
Always blame the scientists.
Well, I'm not blaming the scientists. I'm blaming the people who funded the scientists. He told them, hey, it'd be a cool idea? Let's fund you guys to make some scorpions that kill you by just touching
you. A giant insect death machine.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. It won't backfire in any way, shape, or form.
All right. Okay. So, Jack, do you have a pledge for us?
Yep. It's a scorpion, imperial.
But it's a friendly scorpion.
It's a friendly scorpion. Mm. I'm going to go with that. This is the friendly scorpion. You know how there's like thousands and tens of thousands, maybe even millions of orcs in Lord of the Rings, right? It's got to be at least like one good orc. Like, they, by their standards, is completely mentally deficient. Like, you know, there's like one murderous elf or something.
Sure. I mean, there are a few murderous elves.
I mean, let's pretend that there aren't any for my point. So this
is the black sheep of the scorpion tribe.
It's literally black.
Well, yes. the metaphorical black sheep that's also literally black.
Yes. This is that scorpion, and it's in a wasteland with other scorpions who happen to be the last remnants of their empire.
Of a scorpion empire, yeah, of an scorpion. Intelligent scorpion empire.
Yep.
Nice. That's a hellish place to send a group of players to.
Yes.
Nice. I know you were trying to make this friendly and happy, but you've accidentally made an empire of intelligent scorpions.
But this is the friendly one.
Okay, and this is the friendly one. So we're focusing. And how big are these scorpions? Are they horse size?
They sort of range from house cat size all the way to elephant sized.
Okay, and how
this one? This
and
one.
How
is,
big is the nice one?
This one's a very large dog size.
Okay.
Very large dog.
Okay. Okay, well, those are three turns. So we have what will we call? We'll call it the Executioner Scorpion.
Mm.
We have the Scorpion Empire with one friendly scorpion.
There's friendly scorpion.
The friendly,
featuring,
the friendly
featuring,
scorpion.
Nearly featuring the Empire of Scorpions.
The Empire of Cat to Elephant-sized Scorpions.
It's just a side thing.
And then we have the scorpions responsible for the downfall of the empire.
Mm.
So have you got a name for these scorpions? Like what were they called by their makers?
Just list all their names, like Greg, Bill, Jane.
Oh, a name for the scorpions, eh? Oh, I'm going to have to go with the Creeping Death.
Okay, yeah. And does your happy, friendly scorpion have a name?
Thumb Bum.
Bum Bum.
Thumb Bum.
Thumb Bum. That's even more ridiculous. But okay, so whose pledge would we like to build on first?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Do we want to build on yours?
Yeah,
build on it. Okay, so if Thumbum is the one and only happy, friendly, doesn't want to kill you, Scorpion, what does that mean in Scorpion society? Does he have trouble eating? Is he outcast? Do they have familial relationships? Is there a hierarchy? Like, is he? Because obviously, like, you're making an NPC, Thumbum, the friendly Scorpion, and so you need to give him some sort of motive or some sort of reason to engage the party.
Yeah. So he was friendly with his own scorpions, which was fine because they're scorpions being friendly with each other. But eventually that friendliness sort of like led to him befriending, say, a prisoner or a slave and getting too close to them and releasing them.
What sort of slaves do scorpions have? Like people slaves?
Yeah, people slaves.
Right.
Ogres.
All right. Okay, so we have a scorpion
empire. You need people because they have thumbs.
I mean, that's fine. I'm not saying you don't need people for thumbs because that's the only selling point at the moment. Okay, so the scorpions have slaves, like humanoid slaves, and Thumbum is against this slavery.
Yes, he's very philosophical.
Okay, all right. So Thumbum, the slave freer, the emancipationist.
He has been outcast, thoroughly outcast.
So he's been outcast. All right, so I think that's a great progression of that. Isaac, do you have anything?
Well, were the scorpions always sentient, or did something make them go sentient at one point?
Yeah, I'd like to think there was like an even older empire before them that made them sentient.
Are you tying this into the creeping death?
Ooh,
sure, maybe.
We've got a crossover going.
Yeah, we've got a crossover here.
All right, good. It always seems to happen, and that's fine. We don't frown on crossovers here at Hooked Podcast. Okay, so we've got Thumbum wants to free the slaves that are held by the Scorpion Empire, and that's a great way to kind of engage with that character, particularly if you have to fight him to start with because you think
and
it's just
a
giant.
And if you need a guide to go through, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's wait for the prestige. I was just going to say something, but I think we'll wait for the prestige. Okay, well, let's look at the creeping death. So we have... So these your scorpions are rather mindless. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so and that it's just they're mindless creatures that have done what they were programmed to do, and what they were programmed to do was kill indiscriminately, and they have.
Yeah, exactly.
And multiply. So how would you make that interesting for the players to interact with?
Well, you kind of got these two points of this whole location-based thing. You got the edge of where the scorpions are moving. They're always moving outwards because that's where life is.
Yeah.
So you have that case of you got the scorpion invasion coming. You got nations around the outside, kingdoms who've built up defenses to keep the scorpions out, and how you can interact with
okay, that. So the scorpions, this scorpion empire is always expanding.
Well, it has to because there's nothing left inside.
So as it expands, does the population thin out?
It does thin out. As it gets out, it gets to that point where it gets to where it's not large enough to affect people.
Yeah.
But still be a massive... There's giant scorpions on
okay,
the other side
okay,
of the river.
All right, so that's what they're doing. How do the scorpions function with each other? Is it just like every scorpion for themselves and they just happen to be traveling in the same direction because that's where all the food is, like zombies? Or is it more like hierarchical, like ants? So like they sense food, so they kind of cooperate to all attack at once and then retreat and then they attack in waves? Or
well, that's an interesting... I feel like it kind of is both of those. So the ones on the outside, they're very, you know, that zombie-like. They just move towards food. But as you get closer to the center, the epicenter of where the scorpions came, because it's less food, now it's a case of, all right, now we need to work together. So they're starting to form this kind of hierarchical nature inside this what you could assume would be like a desert or a wasteland.
Yeah, a wasteland, definitely. Mm. But also a wasteland made of what used to be a sprawling empire. Mm. So there might be a whole bunch of loot to be had that doesn't interest scorpions. Mm. Because what's a scorpion going to do with a gold coin?
They just need people with thumbs.
They just need people
with
thumbs.
That's all they need.
So that's the thing where it kind of leaps off. You've got that too. How do you get into this empire with this kind of almost wall of death around it?
Yeah.
And then once you're in,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How do you make sure you don't get caught by the ones who've got a little bit of intelligence?
Yeah.
So you can get that sick loot.
All right.
And how do you get back out again?
Well, fly. You fly.
No. We do. You. That's the thing with D&D. You always make sure you do all the interesting things before they can learn fly.
Yes.
After that, we're going to put you underground.
After fifth level, it's useless.
Yes, exactly. I keep my players as low as I can for as long as I can.
All right. Okay. So, well, then I guess we're back to me with my execution of Scorpion. So I think I'd like to focus rather small on this this idea and go into perhaps the effects of what the scorpion does.
Mm.
So rather than just sting you and you immediately die, I think the scorpion's been chosen by the emperor because it's so horrific and makes an example of you. So maybe something like how leprosy was shunned, I think it's best if the target has to exist for a certain amount of time before and has very visible marks and is perhaps maybe contagious to those around them, so that the emperor might not only kill the target but the target's family and friends because of the insult to the emperor.
So would you see this as more of a... The empire is kind of like, you know, it's a complete, just the emperor is kind of like, it's a complete dictatorship. He makes sure everyone does exactly what he says. If you step one foot out of line, scorpions come and get. Or is this more like it's a normal kind of just empire, but if you do something really wrong, we're really going to mess you up.
Yeah, I think definitely the second one.
Mm.
So it's not like death is at the hand of the emperor is commonplace, but it's more of a political message.
Mm.
So if you've tried to, like, say, kill a senator, the senator could appeal to the emperor to have an example made of you and send out the execution of Scorpion.
Now, what do you make of that public? Would it be like, hey, we just sent the Scorpion after this guy and everyone on the sidelines is cheering for how long is this guy going to last before the Scorpion finds him?
I think that is why the Scorpion is branded so... predominantly, because you'll see it walking down the street and it won't pay any attention to the person who isn't marked.
Mm.
So it's like people go like, oh no, someone's going to die. Who is it? Who is it this time? What's going on?
Mm.
And that kind of leads into that kind of mob justice as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really interesting mechanic to play with as well. If the players can see that this is happening, and if they think that they've done something, they either have to stay away from it, or if they think that they know that one of their friends has done something, they need to try and protect them.
Mm.
Or they've been charged with finding out who did it before, who did what before.
Or maybe they just have a funeral service for them early.
Maybe well, that's what they do. Maybe your players are a traveling funeral show.
Yep, see ya.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing you could look at it. It's like, everybody sees, oh, the scorpion's coming out. Now it's time for, like, everyone's going to cheer. It's almost like a game to them.
Yeah, definitely. You can see how, like, people would be kind of, buy into it. And maybe bets could be placed.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's, like, a whole social thing against this target.
Mm.
That's great. I love that.
Mm.
And so maybe rather than the execution of Scorpion, it's just called the Emperor's Justice.
Mm.
Because as soon as you're marked and the scorpion is chasing you around, everyone knows that you've been shunned. And rather than just exile you or excommunicate you, you're going to be publicly humiliated until you die a painful death.
And that's just the point, is that even your friends and, you know, your family, they might say, oh, he's been marked.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how long you last, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Oh, now I want to use that.
Do it.
Yeah, says the two people in the game that I run.
No.
Excellent. Okay, well, so that's the turn. So I've got the... I've changed the name now to the Emperor's Justice. We still have the Empire of the Creeping Death.
Mm.
And we have Thumbum the Friendly Scorpion. So the pledge is where we put the final touches on our hook, and we try to give people a way to incorporate it into their games. So let's start with the Empire of the Creeping Death.
Mm.
So I think the base works really done. So you have the initial kind of wall of Scorpion Death that you need to get past to get into the Empire, where all this riches and whatever could be.
Mm.
And then you have the intelligent scorpions, or the ones that are working together in a hierarchical structure in the Empire proper, that you have to deal with while you're there.
Mm.
So I think that kind of path follows a pretty standard adventure narrative.
There's an adventure right there. You can put it like at the edge of your map and say, I don't know what's on that side of the map, but let's just throw this chunk. Oh, this creeping death scorpions. Hey, please, maybe don't go that way. But if you do, here's some cool stuff.
Don't go that way until you're a higher level.
Don't go that way till you can fly. But maybe the scorpions in the center have wings.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. I kind of want an idea of what the society of the intelligent scorpions in the center is, especially if we're going to tie that into the Scorpion Empire that Jack's given us. What sort of challenge could those scorpions pose?
Well, you see, if these scorpions started off as more or less a genetic experiment, there could be a case of they are constantly mutating.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the outside, they don't live long enough. They go out, they fight, people kill them, new ones come out. Whereas in the center, they live for longer, they've mutated more. Some have wings, some of them might be able to use magic. You get to that point where they start being intelligent, and maybe you have like...
And then they start harnessing that mutation.
They have
squadrons of magic scorpions and squadrons of flying scorpions.
And then the merchant scorpions.
So you have that
covered in gold.
You could have that kind of two sides to the thing. You have like the really young, unintelligent scorpions who are just out fighting on the edges.
Oh, the old ones want to keep the masses young and unintelligent.
Yeah, they could have that thing where they want to keep... All right, we'll just keep sending those ones out, but the special ones...
Well, maybe it's the thing that if the scorpions survive long enough on the edges, they always come back. And so then you get the experienced veterans coming back, and then they live on to impart knowledge and what have you.
Well, that could be the thing, like how they get slaves. When they get intelligent enough, they realize, you know what, instead of killing these people, how about I just grab a bunch of my claws and take them back to my slave empire with the rest of the family.
Yeah, and then they can do my work for me.
Exactly.
All right. I think that's great. So the Empire of a Creeping Death.
Mm.
Love it. All right, shall we... Well, Isaac, what would you prefer? Do you want to go to Thumbum, or do you want to go to the Emperor's Justice?
Well, let's finish it. Let's go to Thumbum. If our thing's going to be linked, let's tie it up so we can go into the other one.
Okay, so Thumbum, outcast scorpion, wants to free the slaves.
I think he was given his name by a slave he befriended.
Oh.
And that's why it's a bit unscorpion-y.
Well, what would be a scorpion name?
I don't know, probably like Rishzak or something.
Krishnakshtak.
Lots of Z.
Krishnakshtak.
Yep.
Don't be racist.
I think a good hook, a good hook, a really obvious one is often you're trying to find an NPC.
Yeah, yeah.
NPC's been abducted and made into a slave, so you have to go to the Scorpion Empire to get them back.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, or perhaps...
Thumbum happens to know about them, and it's like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, by the way, I want to free them, so...
So would Thumbum be on the wave on the outside, or maybe even outside of the wave, or would he be inside?
I'd imagine he would have gone to the end of the wave at some point and then would have come back, and that's why he was in a position to free them in the first place.
See, I would view this Scorpion Empire as maybe... a few hundred years after the Empire of the Creeping Death.
Yes. I think it's a bit
more. Where it is kind of like a bit more embedded and the scorpions aren't finding their way anymore. They are kind of really set and they know how things are working and things are now more political and they have third, fourth generation slaves.
There's been a few slave uprisings. You know,
That's and what I was thinking. Your thumb bum's the future.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So he's kind of the go-to person to get people in and out.
Now, a question on that. If this is a few hundred years later, would you make an assumption that he is the next point of their evolution? That now they're not just intelligent, now they've actually got a conscience, and he's the first one to actually get to that stage?
Yeah, this is like the... might not be the first scorpion, but be certainly the first scorpion that would make them make the players question what's in front of them.
So could there be... the potential of more scorpions think like this, but he's the only one who's actually putting action into
and
it.
And then you have to lead the scorpion uprising with Thumbbum as leader.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Okay. So maybe, and I'm just gonna put the final little touch. Maybe my empire is the empire that was fallen because of the experiments conducted. On the scorpion.
Yes, yes. Maybe they're like...
So this is 1,000 years in the past.
Maybe then, other noble families got the magic and started sending out hit squads.
Well, yeah, maybe the rebels of the Empire captured some of these justice scorpions and started experimenting with them to make them bigger and more deadly and less discriminate about who they're attacking.
Well, maybe it could be the case of... people are starting getting bored of just the normal ones.
So they bred them for sport.
Let's bred them for let's like really get into it. Like, what can we actually do to get the people, you know, invested in this and keep them civil in the society?
Yeah.
Let's make them crazy and crazy and whoops, they're too crazy.
Oh no. Oh no.
Now they're just killing everyone in the street.
How could this have gone so wrong?
How did we not see this happening?
500 years later, there's a friendly scorpion. Some of them are like wearing nice clothes.
and as that friendly scorpion's on his deathbed, saying goodbye to his hundreds of children, he says, "It all started when an emperor wanted to kill his enemies."
And then he's like, "By the way, whoever wants the throne can have it if they're the strongest.
If they're the strongest." So
and then the whole cycle starts again.
Yeah, good.
Yay.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Well, there you go. That's three stages for three different parts of a game where you want to start it.
Or if you have immortal characters, they can play at each different stage. Or time travelers. If you're playing a time travel campaign.
That's true.
Yeah, and like if they have involuntary time travel. So you're in the first one for the lower levels, in the middle one for the mid-levels, and then in the final, scorpions everywhere. Scorpion uprising for the high levels.
There you go.
I think that'd be real fun to play.
That's a whole campaign right there.
Just for you. Now, this podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative 4.0 license internationally. That means that you can share and redistribute material in any medium or format as long as you give credit and do not use the medium for commercial purposes without explicit written permission. So just get in contact with
us. Scorpion hell for everyone.
Scorpion hell for everyone.
Whee!
We're here to spread the scorpion hell love. if you have any artwork, if you're an artist and you have any artwork that you think we could use for inspiration, feel free to send it through to our email at podcast.hooked@gmail.com or reach out on Facebook, Twitter. We haven't got an Instagram set up yet, I don't think, but we will soon. So reach out on any of those platforms and keep playing fun games. I've been Zane C. Weber here with
Isaac
from
Law and Disorder,
playing
Pons and Melina, and maybe someone else if I die again.
Maybe.
From the Scorpions.
And once and again,
Jack playing Dashbold in Law and Disorder.
Never died.
If I do die, I'd probably play Dashbold's brother. That'd be pretty cool.
Bring him back.
Yeah, it's Bold Dash.
Necromancer riding a scorpion.
Oh, good lord. Okay, so we had the Emperor's Justice, we had the Empire of the Creeping Death, and we had Thumbbum, the friendly scorpion. Until next time, bye everybody.
Bye.
We'll be right back. I'm Morgan Phillips and I'm a human.
And I'm Isabella Vallette and I'm also a human. But I was raised by fairies. And now I'm taking my human friend Morgan in to meet all of the mythological creatures that I know.
Every Sunday we meet a new mythological creature and interview them about their life in a modern day context.
Such as?
The Night King from Game of Thrones.
Funicula, the friendly vampire brother of Dracula.
We've met the Loch Ness Monster.
Santa.
The Volpertinger.
The Devil.
And a mermaid.
And many more.
We release all our interviews as a podcast called Off of the Fairies, where we interview a new mythological creature every week living in a modern day world.
Come join us.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.